Okay, so through our research, we found out that the melting sea ice is making it so polar bears can't hunt seals as easily, and it's making them in worse condition. Would you say that there is a chance that polar bears could actually go extinct from this?
Well, clearly the populations of the polar bears is going to decline if their habitat is melting away. So the problem is, even though there might be enough food for the polar bears, if the numbers decline dramatically, it means that the population of polar bears is not large enough to sustain itself going into the future. So there's certainly great concern around the habitat of the polar bear and its ability to be able to hunt enough food in order to keep the population going. So individual polar bears will have an impact on the entire population. So if they go extinct or if they can't find enough food, it means that there is a huge risk that the population will decline. And then, of course, that will have other implications for the species and for the prey that they are actually hunting. Because what can happen then, if they don't have a predator like the polar bear, that can mean that the population of the prey can increase in the waters, and then that will have implications for other species. So there's a huge knock-on effect by impacting one particular species in a habitat that will have an implication for other species in the area.
Okay,
Thank you. Okay.
is it possible that the polar bears might be able to be able to hunt on land instead of on their sea ice and get enough food to not have such a decline in their population?
That's a very good question. But because they are adapted to hunt in the sea, they're not able, they wouldn't be as efficient on land. I mean, it looks to us like they could, run around like regular bears. But because they're not adapted to that particular environment, the chances of them being able to adapt very quickly is pretty low. So I would say probably not.
Okay, thank you. Is there a way that people can help stop this from happening?
That's another very good question, and I'm sure you guys are aware more than most people that there's a huge effort lately to try and reverse climate change and to try and get the general population of the planet understanding more about the impacts that humans have that we don't really realize. I mean, what we really, really need to do is for everybody to make even a small contribution to try to reverse what's happening. So we need to do things like, in general, use a little bit less energy. So use things like energy efficient bulbs, or try and not use so much transport, or use public transport, or find other means of trying to adjust. We have to adjust as well, because if we're changing the planet for other organisms, that will have an impact on us as well. And we use the polar bear as an example because it's such an iconic species, and we like to, we want to save that particular species. So, sorry, to get back to your question about what can we do, I think doing exactly what you guys are doing at the moment, which is really important, is to raise awareness among your peers and other people and get them to listen to you. The science is very, very, very clear. What we're doing to the planet is changing the climate. I mean, with lots of examples at the moment with fires in Australia and fires in California, and their, local impacts, and they're just going to get worse, and we have to adapt to all of that. So once now we're starting to see it, with our own eyes, I think that will eventually get people thinking, and we need to get our politicians to start to put in very, very restrictive policies to try and, you know, reverse the damage that we have done or the damage that we're doing. Now, we are making progress. I mean, we are amazing at introducing new technologies to try and, you know, reduce our environmental impact. So, I mean, it's not too late, but we do have to work very hard and immediately to try to change what, you know, the negative impacts that are occurring. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
So do you want to talk a little bit about the impact of climate change that we see in Wisconsin?
Yes, please.
That would be great.
So, well, in Wisconsin, because we have the Great Lake, the Lake Michigan beside us, and we have lots of lakes in Wisconsin, we're seeing changes in lake levels, for example. We're seeing changes in the timing of the snow season, and that has implications for skiers up in the north of Wisconsin that like to go skiing. The snow is tending to start later in the season and melt earlier the following spring. So that means that for us humans, there's a shorter duration when we can go skiing. But it also has implications for some of the species that we see in these environments. There's a species of hare called the snowshoe hare. Actually, it's not exactly in Wisconsin, but we see the snowshoe hare in the States, and it's a white kind of a hare. It's a white hare, and it changes its coat color in autumn it goes from its summer colors, which are kind of a brown color, into white. So when the snowshoe hare is white, it can be seen very clearly in the environment if the snow has not fallen yet. And we're seeing that as a negative impact on the hare, because now it can be seen in the environment by the predators. So we're seeing a decline in the population of the hares. But sorry, some other things that are happening in Wisconsin itself, we're seeing things like the length of the growing season in the forest. So as the spring temperatures are warming, we're seeing leaves coming out on trees earlier in the season and staying on the trees later in the autumn season. So the trees are leafing out earlier in spring and the leaves are remaining on the trees later into autumn. So that has implications for the forest itself. So it's growing for that little bit longer. So what we see is an extension to the growing season. And that's a positive thing for the trees growing in this environment. But as we've seen before, we see that some trees, or for example, some fruit trees, are leafing out earlier and flowering earlier in spring. But they become very, very vulnerable to a late frost. And when we talk about climate change, we're not only talking about changes to the temperature, we're seeing more and more extreme events. And a late frost can be an extreme event. So if the flowers come on the fruit trees early and they get zapped by a late frost, that means that the yield or the productivity of the plants would be decreased later in the season. So if you're a fruit tree farmer and you lose your crop, it will have economic implications as well. So we're seeing these things becoming more frequent as we see changes to the climate. So it's not just a steady increase in the temperature. We see changes in extremes, and this can have financial implications to us right here at home in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, and it's great to see you, working on this topic. I'm sure you're motivated by other students around the world.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. That's all the questions we have.
That was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, you're more than welcome, guys. And Happy New Year to you all. Yeah.
You too. Bye.
See you. Bye, bye, bye.
Okay, so what do I do?
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.